Today's term is real presence. The real presence is a dogma of Catholic faith that under the species of bread and wine, once consecration has been performed, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ are really present. This truth, being above the powers of reason and foreign to experience, can be admitted only on the basis of divine revelation. God has revealed this mystery to us in three facts narrated in the New Testament, which are forged together like the rings in a chain: the promise, the institution, and the celebration of the Eucharist in the nascent Church. The promise is related by St. John. Jesus climaxes, as it were, the three miracles he had just wrought, the multiplication of the loaves, the walking on the waves, and the preternatural landing of the boat, by elevating the thoughts of his audience to a spiritual bread, which is identical with his own flesh, not subject to nature's law, and which, when eaten, has the effect of bringing souls to the portals of eternal life. The most salient words are, "Amen, amen, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." John 6:54-56. Jesus spoke so clearly that the disciples declared they could not accept the content of his words, whereas St. Peter, as spokesman for the apostles, and expressing, in its germ, as it were, the faith of the whole church, cried out, "We have believed and have known that thou art the Christ, the Son of God." John 6:70. Engraved upon the souls of the 12, the words of the promise are the natural background against which the scene of the Last Supper, that is, the institution, is set. When Christ took the bread and said, "This is my body," and holding the chalice of wine in his hands, added, "This is my blood," Matthew 26:26-28, Mark 14:22-23, Luke 22:19-20, 1 Corinthians 11:24-25. The apostles, in the actions and words of their master, immediately recognized the fulfillment of the promise made at Capernaum. Obedient to his command, "Do this for a commemoration of me," the apostles immediately after Pentecost began the celebration of the Eucharist at Jerusalem, see Acts 2:42, at Troas, Acts 20:7-11, at Corinth. It was precisely in this last city that those disorders came about which provoked St. Paul's letter, in which the faith of the nascent church is, as it were, photographed in the act of its normal exercise. See 1 Corinthians 10:14-21, and chapter 11:17-34. Tradition walks firmly in the path traced by the apostolic faith. The first Christian generations adhered to the real presence as to the fundamental cell of dogma and piety. The doctors of the 4th and 5th centuries made it the subject of their catecheses, homilies, and discussions, and used it as a foundation and sure premise in settling Trinitarian, Christological, and ecclesiological controversies which were then stirring in the bosom of Christianity. From the 6th to the 10th centuries, the Church transmitted to the new peoples regenerated unto Christ the torch of Eucharistic faith, which was taken up with such sincere enthusiasm that when, in the 11th century, Berengarius impugned for the first time in history the real presence, the faithful rose in a body up against the heretic and constrained him to abjure his error. But while Berengarius's denial provoked a strengthening in Eucharistic faith and increased the gravitational pull of medieval civilization around the central mystery of the Eucharist, the heresy of the Protestant sacramentarians, who reduced the Eucharist to an empty symbol of the body of Christ, and the heresy of Calvin and the Anglicans, imagining the sacrament of the altar as a bread permeated with a mysterious force emanating from the body of Jesus present in heaven only, turned many from the profession of this dogma. Against these errors, the Council of Trent, in Session 13, defined that in the Eucharist, quote, "is contained truly, really, and substantially the body, the blood, the soul, and the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ," end quote, and condemned those who asserted him, quote, "as present in sign or figure or only virtually," end quote.